Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Lewis.
Hello, stranger.
One of my favorites.
It seems so good to
welcome back, Seven Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us, having a great visit with our good friend Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen. Ed is the author of the new book, CIOs at Work, and many, many others. He's a member of the Computer Hall of Fame, one of the great minds of technology, where technology and management come together. He's right there at that intersection directing traffic and has been now for a long time. Yordan.com, Yordon.com. Ed, thanks again for hanging out with us. One of the things that I have tried to help small business owners understand in my work is the importance of the user interface. I bought a lot of user interface technology in my life. I've had people build a lot of original stuff for me over the years. And I was always the keeper of the interface. I always made sure that whatever they built, it had to work for my users. And I tell small business owners, never make a customer touch your technology unless there's something in it for them. What do you think about that philosophy?
Very good piece of advice.
And so many companies don't do that. But the user interface is something I know you're tracking with regard to technology, and I'm fascinated by it because of the form factor, the human form factor, right?
Well, and also the expectations of each new generation. There are a lot of jokes these days about the kids on airplanes trying to swipe the display screen on the TV on the back of the seat and being very surprised when it doesn't behave the way it does on their iPhone. Each generation seems to have expectations about how we can interact with the technology, whether it's a keyboard, we still have the whole generation of the mouse, but now that's being replaced by touch-sensitive stuff. We tap and swipe and...
Listen, hey Ed. Sometimes I'll be on my laptop and I'll reach up and touch the screen like I'm on the iPad.
Yep. So now with all the stuff shrinking, the question is, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, if the next generation of technology is a smart wristwatch, you know, from Apple or whoever,
right?
How are we going to interact with it? I think there's going to be a lot of development with voice recognition.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of companies are working on tracking things just by watching your eyes.
15 years ago, I predicted a heads-up, a hologram display off of a wristwatch.
So I think we're going to see a lot of that. You see Google Glass now, and I think even the latest Samsung Galaxy 4 claims that it tracks your eyes so that if you look away from the screen, it pauses the video that it was playing. So I think there's a whole world there that the technology people are really getting into.
But to me, what's so fascinating about all this, Ed, is the fact that regardless of what is, you know, how fast we get, how small we get, how nano we get, we're still consuming those things with the archaic human form factor, right? It's still the human eye, still the human hand, and still the human brain, and our technology is outpacing us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that the form factor really has to... I mean, look at this. Smartphones are getting bigger. They're not getting smaller. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, think about that. I think the human form factor is a fascinating thing to contemplate when we start building interfaces, whether it be a website or whatever. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's amazing how long some of the old technology lasts. You know, consider the fact that all of us are still using QWERTY keyboards that were invented 100 years ago because of the limitations of the old typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
So moving to, you know, the stuff that we've just been talking about, holographic displays and all that stuff, it's not as easy as it sounds from a cultural or human point of view as well as the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where we're moving. And... you know, if I were planning for the future, that's what I would be assuming for my customers and my own developers and the technology I'm investing in.
Voice recognition and optical character recognition, those kinds of things are going to be a big part of this user interface feature, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think stuff like Apple's Siri and whatever it is that Google has got as an equivalent are just at the beginning. I think if we look at that 10 years from now, we're going to be astounded by what it's able to do.
Oh, yeah. I had a 1981 Datsun Maxima 810 that when you left the lights on, there was a little lady's voice that said, please turn off the lights, please. And in 1981, people would come up to me and say, is this the car that talks to you? And they'd want me to turn the lights on, and so the car would talk to them.
Yeah.
We've come a long way, haven't we, Ed?
We have, but we've still got a long way to go.
We sure have, and I can't wait to see it. Hey, Ed, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Ed joined us. That's Yordan.com, Yordon.com. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.